We are going to move on to the larger catechism as we study this wonderful doctrine of God. And we are thinking tonight especially of the holiness of God. In the larger catechism, it is the number 7. Number 7, it's a little longer than the one we did number 4 this morning. What is God? God is a spirit in and of himself, infinite in being, glory, blessedness, and perfection, all sufficient, eternal, unchangeable, incomprehensible, everywhere present, almighty, knowing all things, most wise, most holy, most just, most merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Wow, that one is long. And that's why they call it the larger catechism. So much more than the other. Now, we are thinking tonight of only one part. Most holy. He is indeed most holy. Now, the scriptures in the book of Isaiah, we read earlier, chapter 6, verse 3, and one cried to another. These are the seraphim. These angels said, cried one to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And his holiness is mentioned very early in the scriptures. It's mentioned again in the Revelation. So it is not a doctrine to be forgotten. In Exodus chapter 15, after the victory of the children of Israel over the Egyptians at the Red Sea, there's this wonderful part of the song that Moses sang with the children of Israel. Exodus 15, verse 11, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" Now, this doctrine of holiness is a very important doctrine. The doctrine of God being holy. And he commands us in the Word of God, in one of Peter's epistles, "Be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." Be ye holy. It is very clearly a command to be like him. I was sharing with Brother Mac and with Brother Kurt before the service. I remembered being a sophomore, having finished my sophomore year of college, and I had been taught so clearly the use of the Romans road, and I was going all over the place, having people to pray a prayer with me, followed through the Romans road, and lead them into the same condition that I was in. And I remember at the end of my sophomore year of college, I went to work in the place where I could not escape the call of God to preach the word. But at that time, I had no assurance of salvation, and I didn't know how to really get assurance of salvation. I knew nothing of the imputed righteousness of Christ. I didn't understand such terminology. But I had been taught the Romans road, and I was working with a bunch of men that used very foul, crude language. very blasphemous. And so I, you know, started off there. Well, we're going to endeavor to be a witness to these men in everything that we do. So I did that. I spoke to them about the need of their souls. And there was a man there from a holiness background. I'm sure an Arminian went with it. And he disturbed me greatly. He spoke to me one day about a verse of scripture that I was altogether unfamiliar with. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, he spoke about holiness. Holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And this was terribly disturbing to a young person that was trying his best to be a Christian. I mean, I was reading my Bible. I was saying my prayers. I was telling other people about the Lord. I was trying to live a sanctified life. I didn't know anything about sanctification. I didn't know how to be really assured of salvation. And I already had problems. And this man put me into a greater confusion that lasted for another 5 years. Count. Yes. Another 5 years. I was in terrible confusion. And you mean there's more? I prayed this prayer and that's not enough? And it greatly disturbed me. And I thank God for that man. I don't even remember his name. I remember what he looked like way back in 1973. But I appreciate him saying what he said, because I could not come to any assurance, not really knowing anything about imputed righteousness, not knowing that Christ had indeed done enough and that I didn't have to look here, but look there. Well, so the Lord is most holy. The holiness of God is this. He is infinitely removed from all sin. He is infinitely removed from all sin. He is apart from all sin. It's not a part of Him. He is infinitely removed from all sin, and He cannot fellowship with sinners unless their sin is removed. Wow. And it was understanding how sin is removed that I didn't have a clue. We had been taught many duties, but we had not been taught the great work that Christ had done, that He had actually done this work in behalf of a people that He would bring to the end of themselves to repent, to turn from their evil way, and to believe. But praise God, in 1978, the Lord showed me that, and I'm so thankful. Well, the holiness of God, I have said over and over again here that it is God's highest attribute. And I want to give you four proofs that holiness is indeed the highest attribute of God. In fact, it was Robert Louis Dabney, Stonewall Jackson's chaplain and adjutant. It was Robert Louis Dabney, the great Southern Presbyterian theologian, who said holiness encapsulates all of the attributes of God. Wow. But I believe indeed that it is God's highest attribute for reason number one. It is to this, to the holiness of God, that the angels give the highest praise. And I was so glad that Sarah picked that hymn tonight, Holy, 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 because I was thinking about it. You know, I was thinking, well, that must be a good one. And then I picked some of the others, but I'm glad she picked that, because the angel said that in the Old Testament. They didn't just say it in the Old Testament. These same six-winged living beings, they're called beasts in the New Testament, in the authorized version. But a beast to the authorized translators was a living being. These living creatures with six wings, two covering their faces, two covering their feet, and with two they were flying in Isaiah. You see it again in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8. And what are they crying? They're crying the very same thing that they were crying back over in Isaiah's day. This is the same eternal song. Here it is. Revelation 4:8, and the four beasts, or the four living ones, had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. So, don't think these were some kind of weird animals, beasts that were running around, like we see these artist conceptions of some of the things that are supposed to be in the book of Revelation. These were angelic beings. Now, what were they doing? We see them singing, holy, 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 and saying, holy, holy, holy. Isn't it interesting that that is what they are taken up with? They were not singing, loving, 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 merciful, 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 gracious, gracious, gracious. But they were singing, holy, holy, holy. There's the theme that's carried by the angelic beings from ancient times, even into the future. The second proof for this is that holiness is the very glory and beauty of God. What did Moses' song say? That the Lord was glorious in holiness. Exodus 15:11. Glorious in holiness. The glory and the beauty of God shines in His holiness. And someone chose Psalm 29. And Psalm 29 was another one that I had on my mind tonight, because it is in Psalm 29 and verse 2 that we read the very same kind of thing. Psalm 29:2, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And then again in Psalm 96 and verse 9. Psalm 96 verse 9. We are told there to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 96, 9. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Holiness is the very beauty and the glory of God. That is where His beauty and His glory resides, in His holiness. God is so pure, so unsullied by any of the sin and the filth of men or fallen angels. He is perfectly pure and unstained and unmarked, unspotted. The third reason I say that holiness is God's highest attribute is God swears by His holiness. Psalm 89. Psalm 89 and verse 35. Very interesting scripture here. Psalm 89, verse 35. Once have I sworn by my holiness. Wow. We learn that God swears by His holiness. You ever read in the scripture where the Lord says, as I live, saith the Lord. What is He swearing by? His very life, His very being. If you go over to Hebrews chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 14, you'll see it again. Hebrews 6:14. saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of strife. Now, God was swearing by His holiness. He was swearing by His very life and being. And so I have to agree with Brother Dabney that that was all enveloped by His holiness. He was swearing very clearly by His holiness as His highest attribute. The fourth proof is that I've read here in chapter 6 of Hebrews, and again in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18, we are alienated from the life of God. By nature, we are alienated. We are alienated because of what? Our sin. And our sin alienates us, especially from God's holiness. And God's holiness is His very life. Alienated from the life of God. Alienated from His holiness by our sin. So I believe that it is indeed His highest attribute. You know, everything about God is holy. His name is holy. Psalm 111, verse 9. Holy and reverend is His name. Okay. Some people get hung up on that verse. And they say, that's only His name. That's only His name. And I'm not asking anybody to call me that. Some people do sometimes, and I don't object to it. Some people object. Some ministers object to being called reverend. But you notice what it says there. Holy and reverend is His name. And I didn't call myself holy. God calls His redeemed people His hagioi, His holy ones. Believers are known as holy ones. That's another translation of hagioi, which is translated so often, saints. Saints simply means holy ones. Sanctified ones, saints, holy ones. And so to call someone a saint, you know, my brother, the saint, you know, or anybody, there's nothing wrong with calling a real godly person a saint. My holy brother, or, you know, so we don't have to get hung up on these little things. But some people do. But they're not really consistent. And all of the Trinity is holy. The Father is holy. John 17 and verse 11. Holy Father, keep through Thy name. The Lord Jesus is known as the Holy Child Jesus in Acts 4:27. The Holy Ghost. Romans 14, verse 17. God's works are holy. Psalm 145, 17. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. His providence is holy. His creation was so holy. Holy in creation. His redemption is holy. All of His works are holy. All of His ways are holy. God's Word is holy. The Holy Scripture, the law of God, is holy and spiritual and just and good. We read in Romans chapter 7. Wow. God's day is holy. His worship, the day of His worship is holy. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Exodus 20 verse 8. His throne is holy. Psalm 47 verse 8. His angels are holy. He's going to come and all of His holy angels with Him. Matthew 25:31. God's people are holy people. You are, every believer is a part of the Hagioi. You are a saint. You are a child of God. Those of you who are born again, thou art a holy people. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 6. The same people. Praise God. Well, God hates sin. God hates sinners. Ooh, That went really far, didn't it? Some people say, well, I do believe God hates sin. But the Bible says in Psalm 5, verse 5, thou hatest all workers of iniquity. I was once an object of God's hatred and wrath. John's gospel tells me that he that believeth not, the wrath of God abideth, remaineth, minnow, on him. It's on him. It was on me. But praise God. I've been taken out from under that wrath and brought under the covert of the Savior's wings by grace through faith. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Only cleansed, sanctified sinners will go to heaven. Boy, there's a hard one. Hebrews 12, verse 14. That old boy hit me with it over on Highway 20, the workplace. Oh, man. What an awful thing to get hit with that verse and then the Lord call you at the same place one night on graveyard shift and you try to sweep with a broom and drive your forklift and do all your stuff to try to get your mind. Oh, let me get my mind somewhere else. I certainly don't want to think about that. But praise God. Nobody's going to see the Lord without holiness. Hebrews 12, 14. We believe it. We offend God's holiness in so many ways. We offend God's holiness by the way that we think. What are we learning as Christians? We got a lot to learn. I've got a lot to learn. And I want to thank you folks for having me to be your pastor, because I love to learn and study. People wonder, what do you do? Man, I can't wait to get to my study. I can't wait to learn more of Him, because He's done such wonderful things for me in lifting me up out of that horrible pit, putting a new song in my mouth. Well, you know, we offend God by the way that we think, because we don't think right. I don't think right. We do not think God's thoughts after Him. We think our thoughts. We think sinful thoughts. We think the way that so many ungodly people think. We offend God's holiness by the way that we think. Listen to Psalm 50, verse 21. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself, but I will reprove thee. Wow. Brother Max used that verse many a time. But have we understood that we as God's people can still be guilty of offending God's holiness by our thoughts? By wrong thinking. By unbiblical thinking. We offend God's holiness not only by our thoughts. We offend God's holiness by what we say. I trust we're not saying this. Job 21 verse 14. They say to God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. Wow, what an awful thing to say. Don't ever say that to God. Desire the knowledge of His ways. Don't ever tell God to leave you alone. Some people have done that. And I'm sure there are people in eternity that wish they never said that. The Lord, in His holiness, is offended by things that we think, by things that we say, and sometimes by the way that we act. Proverbs 6 and verse 16 and 19. The Lord hates those who sow discord among the brethren. And that's an awful thing. But we can sometimes find ourselves guilty of offending God's holiness. God's holiness is such that He is of purer eyes than to behold evil. And He can't not look on iniquity. Habakkuk 1:13. Can't even look at it. Well, of course, God knows all about everybody. God knows all the sins that are being perpetrated in minds, in mouths, in actions of every kind. He knows all about that. Well, what does the scripture mean then? That He's of purer eyes than to behold evil, or that He canst not look on iniquity. He cannot look on it with approval. He cannot look with favor upon those who are doing such things. He's offended by these awful sins. Well, God loves holiness, and God delights in that holiness. He loves himself. He loves the other persons in the Godhead with him. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They love each other, and they love themselves. Wow. I want to ask you, have you ever been somewhere, maybe far away from home, and you're someplace, and you run in to another person? Maybe you're sitting waiting in a waiting room somewhere, and you see another person, and you start talking, and you begin to enjoy this person because you detect that this person is a believer. What a wonderful thing to meet another believer. Maybe you're sitting on a seat on an airplane, sitting beside somebody, and you find out that they're Christian, and you have such wonderful fellowship. You ever just love somebody because you see the Lord in them? You see the very glory of God shining in their lives. What's that shining? It's holiness. It is purity that God has wrought in a once filthy, wretched soul. But you know, God loves holiness in himself, and he loves every bit of holiness that he sees in his children. Wow. And this is such a wonderful thing to know, that attraction between believers brought together by God's providence. And even though we may not have much time to spend with somebody, it's like, wow, our hearts are knit because we realize we're both believers, and it's so great. So blessed. We can have a spiritual connection by those that we love because they resemble the Lord. We see the Lord in them. Holiness can be seen and felt. God's holiness is so strict that the only dealings that he can have with sinners like us, his holiness is so strict that the only dealings he can have with some sinner like me and like you is through a mediator. The mediator. God so hates sin that unless a way had been found to right the wrongs that we had done against his holiness, then we would have had to be forever condemned and separated from him. But praise God, he laid hold on a mediator. Christ, by his infinite satisfaction through perfect obedience to God's holy law, and by suffering the excruciating agonies of his body and his soul in our behalf, and by pouring out his very life and his blood to wash away our sin, we can now commune with God through him. That's so wonderful. Being reconciled to God by the blood and by the death of his Son, we now love holiness. And what do you have to say is the thing that really bothers lost people about God? God doesn't really like all kinds of filth, and doesn't want it on him, and he doesn't want it on his people. And that's what people who love filth and love sin, and may not, oh, this wasn't really a bad sin. Yeah, I mean, I've got malice toward this person. Wasn't anything really bad. Or maybe I just say, I hate that person. Or, you know, I can't stand that person to be around. You know, not any bad sin, just, you know, something like that. But, you know, I wouldn't want to be around God, because God doesn't want his people to be dirty like that. What problems do sinners have with God? God is too clean. I'll never forget Dr. Paisley was saying to me some years ago, he had gone up to North Carolina up there with Dr. Spence, and he had stayed with him for several days, and he preached there. And Dr. Paisley said to me, he said, "That's the cleanest man I've ever seen." That's the cleanest man I've ever seen. Meaning he had a clean life. Wow. And I know people wouldn't want to set foot on that campus halfway between New York City and Disney World because it's so spiritually clean. Man, I wouldn't want to be there. I'd be afraid I'd catch some of that. I'd get contaminated with some of that cleanliness, godliness, and holiness. Wow. Well, we love holiness now, don't we? Isn't that something? What we once so despised. Oh, no. I don't want that. I really don't want. God is so clean. Well, we have been brought to love the very God of holiness. And you know what's so comforting about that? If you love holiness, that's such a wonderful encouragement. That is an aid to assurance of salvation. You mean you just don't love filth anymore? You just wouldn't like to get in a big old 55-barrel of filth and just roll around in it and get it all over you? And get it all in you, open your mouth real wide and open all of the gates to your soul and let all that junk in? You mean that wouldn't really make you happy? You love holiness? You love godliness? What is that? That is an aid to the assurance of your salvation. I'm not like I used to be. I've been changed. Hallelujah. For holiness. Well, since holiness is such an eminent part of the divine nature, let us seek holiness in our lives. Jesus has commanded us to do that. He preached that great Sermon on the Mount. And the last verse of it in Matthew, I'm sorry, it's in the middle of it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Jesus commands us, "Be ye therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." Wow. That's a big job. Praise God. The Lord will give us grace to seek Him. And to desire to grow and to desire more of likeness to Him. You know, there's all kinds of benefits to that. The more like Him we grow, the more of His love we'll enjoy. Because He loves Himself. And He loves His image in us more and more as it shows itself in our lives and in our growth in holiness. We enjoy more of God's pleasures. We enjoy the rivers of His pleasure. Isn't that wonderful? Should not we do what Jesus said and seek to be more like our Father in heaven? Matthew 5:48, "Be ye therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." Holiness is wonderful. Holiness is not a disease. Holiness is a wonderful symptom that you have come in contact with the wonderful cure. God, in His attributes, is most holy. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank Thee in Jesus' holy name that we have the privilege to read of the holiness of the Triune God. Oh, please, make us more like our Father in heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.